Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Shep's Ice Cream and the Bremer and Trollope Law Offices. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling.
Here comes the sun, and it is all right as we take our annual trip on Route 51 to the Highway 10 exit in Stevens Point and then head east to the tiny community of Custer, where thousands of people will be making a pilgrimage to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association headquarters and the 27th Annual Energy Fair. And as always, the action happens when the sun is highest in the sky on the summer solstice weekend of June 17th, 18th, and 19th. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio, and in the next hour, we will hear about this year's fair and the issues it will highlight with our guests, David Stingel, Development Director for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Rob Peck, Design Consultant for Northwind Renewable Energy, one of the fair's most visible and committed exhibitors. And we'll hear from one of the keynote speakers. Joining us on the phone, J. Drake Hamilton, Science Policy Advisor for Fresh Energy, a clean energy advocacy organization based in Minnesota. Jay believes that we are on the cusp of an energy revolution driven by low costs and a favorable, changing marketplace. Now, as always, we want you to join the conversation. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. So Doug and Rob and Jay, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, great to be here. Great to take the road trip up Highway 51 here to join you in studio.
Doug, this is the 27th year for the Energy Fair. Your thoughts on where you've been and where you are right now and where you're going?
Yeah, well, it is an amazing journey that we've been on. I always, this time of year brings me back to reflect upon the folks that were so dedicated to found the Energy Fair 27 years ago. They just took it upon themselves in an all-volunteer effort to put on that very first energy fair out in Amherst back in 1990. And we've certainly grown from there to a regionally, if not nationally and worldwide, known event that covers really anything to do with energy and sustainability.
Well, you look at some of the keynote speakers that you've got this year and in previous years. You had Amy Goodman last year. I mean, you certainly are attracting national and even international attention with what you're doing.
Yeah, we've been lucky to have like Amy Goodman. Last year we also had John Wellinghoff, the former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Committee, who's a kind of a superstar in energy circles, and brought in folks like Helen Caldicott from Australia to talk about nuclear power, and have brought in some of the leading folks when it comes to progressive activism as well as, you know, energy from throughout the country, and we're happy to have a great lineup of those folks again this year.
And this year we've got J. Drake Hamilton, who's joining us from Fresh Energy headquarters, unless you're calling us from home, Jay. I'm not sure this morning, but we're happy to have you with us, and we're looking forward to hearing what you've got to say at the Energy Fair when you speak the weekend of June 17th. Jay, tell us a little bit about Fresh Energy, what you do, and what your priorities are.
Thank you, Glenn. Fresh Energy is Minnesota's only independent clean energy nonprofit that works throughout the country on advancing a clean energy economy. So Fresh Energy is on the web at fresh-energy.org. And we are all about growing market opportunities to get more clean energy and fight global warming at the same time. And we're 25 years old this year.
And Rob Peck, you're a design consultant with Northwind Renewable Energy, which has been a part of the fair for as long as I can remember. And it's a great match for you. You're based in Stevens Point with a fair devoted to renewable energy just a few miles east of town.
That's right. We probably travel the least distance of all the vendors that are at the fair, but certainly a worthwhile trip. I mean, certainly around the office, Energy Fair is kind of known as Renewable Energy Christmas.
Talk about Northwind. Tell us what you do and what kind of products you offer.
At Northwind Renewable Energy, primarily we design and install grid-tied solar electric systems. We also offer off-grid systems, battery backup systems along with that. We also carry a line of high-efficiency wood gasification boilers for people who are looking for some renewable space heating.
And the websites to all of these organizations are now linked on our Route 51 Facebook page. You've got a solar home tour coming up Saturday, June 18th. Rob, this is a collaboration between Northwind and the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Tell us what you're going to be showing the folks on that morning.
Yeah, I like it. It's kind of like a three-hour tour on the SS Minnow. No, not that. What we'll be doing is we'll be visiting six homes located in the Custer and Stevens Point area, seeing six different types of grid-tied solar electric installations. We've got pole mounts, ground mounts, roof mounts, systems that are not facing directly south, different inverters, microinverters, string-tied inverters. It's an opportunity for someone who's really looking to find out what a solar electric system looks like, how it performs, what are the options that are available. It's an opportunity to be able to hop on the bus, get out of the bus, and take a look at a bunch of systems that some of our kind customers have offered some time to be able to share with.
And Doug Stingle, you have many, many exhibitors and workshops again this year.
Yeah, we have over 200 workshops and over 200 different exhibitors, and we like to think about it in a three-word term. We think about learn, connect, act. Folks can come and learn at the over 200 different workshops on anything to do with solar power, sustainability, backyard chickens. You know, there's just about everything that you can think of has a workshop. And then you can connect with the over 200 different exhibitors that are there that can offer you solutions for the what you want to do at your home or in your community. And then you can go home and act, and you can put a solar array on your home, put it on your business. Maybe you just want to start backyard composting. Whatever it is, you can learn about it, connect with folks that are doing it and can help you do it, and then go home and act.
We've got Doug Stingle of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Rob Peck of Northwind Renewable Energy, and J. Drake Hamilton of Fresh Energy, all talking about this year's Energy Fair, which is the weekend of June 17th. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jay, on your website, fresh-energy.org, you list some policy goals: reducing carbon pollution, cleaner transportation, more energy-efficient buildings, promoting solar, wind, and other renewable energy in Minnesota, and conservation. It's a pretty impressive list.
Well, thanks so much, Glenn. I'm just thrilled to be coming to northern Wisconsin the weekend of Father's Day to talk about what's new. In my keynote presentation, I'll be talking about the things that you maybe didn't know are going on that are very positive for fighting global warming and moving the clean energy market forward. And it turns out that the heartland of our country, Wisconsin and surrounding states, are the epicenter of some of the innovation and opportunity creation that's happening that's at lowest cost for consumers.
Do you really believe we're on the cusp of an energy revolution? It's what you told me on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm calling my talk Achingly Close to a Renewable Energy Revolution that doesn't require new legislation. And that is because the market is moving so fast. I'll give you an example, Glenn. Since 2008, the U.S. Department of Energy took a look at three technologies, LED lights, solar energy, and wind energy, and looked at how the costs have come down across our country just since 2008. So LED lights, the cost has come down 90%, and the variety of those great lights that last up to 100,000 hours has really improved in the marketplace, and they are the go-to technology for a lot of customers. Solar energy prices have come down 60% just in that 8 years, and wind energy 40%. And the translation is we have three times an expansion of wind energy, 20 times expansion of solar energy, and 195 times expansion of LED light use just in this country. So that translates into an additional 73 million LED light bulbs that are being used very happily by people all across the Midwest and this country. And it's to the benefit of everyone. And then the other thing that's interesting in the marketplace is electric utilities all across the Midwest and the country are finding that right now, because of these price decreases and improvements in technology, these renewable energy sources can beat out natural gas and other fossil fuels in the marketplace today.
Rob Peck, as somebody who's in the marketplace, do you see costs coming down and more people being interested in renewables?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of my favorite phone calls that come into the office is I had somebody come out 4 years ago and do a site visit and give me some pricing. It seemed a little pricey at that time. Would you like to stop out and take a look? And it's like, now I get to be the hero and come and reflect those 40% price reductions. I think what's really interesting that Jay had mentioned before is that, this revolution is happening with or without legislation. And I think we're even seeing that in Wisconsin because certainly, we haven't had any positive legislation come out supporting renewable energy in the state. In fact, some of the regulatory has been maybe even a little negative towards solar energy.
What about wind energy? Wind energy is ground to a halt in this state.
Well, you know what? It really has. But on the other hand, solar, just last year, we saw a tripling of the installed capacity in Wisconsin, which shows that, you know what, whether we have legislation or whether we have regulatory support, there's enough internal built-up desire to install solar energy that we're moving ahead.
Doug Stingle?
Yeah, this is absolutely, I would echo the sentiments that Rob and Jay have laid out. What I would like to note is that the Solar Energies Industry Association just came out with a campaign that solar has been installed on a million different homes or businesses. So there are a million solar installations in the U.S. today. Which is a fantastic development, and those continue to grow. And certainly continues to grow in Wisconsin, as Rob mentioned, despite some policy or regulatory advancements and, in fact, some roadblocks that have been put up in the way of solar. And so to see that growth is amazing. And very much like Rob, when I was started in this industry back in 2008, I went out and told people we were talking about $8 to $11 a watt for a system to be installed for a solar electric system. And today when I give presentations and talk to people, we say $3 to $4. So that cost reduction is dramatic and is certainly leading to more and more installations and leading to a cleaner energy future.
Jay, you were at the Paris Climate Summit with U.S. Senator Al Franken, who, of course, is from your home state of Minnesota, and also Secretary of State John Kerry. Tell us about that.
The Climate Summit, I got to be there for 17 days, kind of inside the delegate zone. And so I was working from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with people from 196 countries who were actually not denying climate change. Even President Putin was talking about the need for addressing health impacts of climate change for the most vulnerable in his country. And people from low-lying island nations were very concerned. And it was groundbreaking that these countries came out with an agreement that said, we need to address this in a science-based way, and we need to work together so that everyone in the world has access to these clean energy technologies at the right price. So it was a very positive experience. And since then, the nations of the world gathered at the United Nations in New York on Earth Day, April 22nd, and 177 nations so far have signed on their commitment to meet the Paris Agreement, including, if you can believe it, North Korea. So there is very widespread support, and much of the discussion that was happening at the Climate Summit was being led by farmers. And so this was a new twist, I think, for a lot of people. Actually, Cargill brought six farmers from the U.S. and Canada to the climate talks, and in a very well-done presentation with the Secretary of Agriculture, Vilsack, about the role that good farming practices can play. And the farmers, again, were stating that water resource quality and availability was their big concern, and that's why Cargill was concerned. So very large corporations, very small farmers, agreeing that we need to move to best practices that not only save water, but make us more resilient to climate change.
So 177 nations have signed the Paris Climate Agreement. Donald Trump says if he's elected, he's going to tear it up. He's going to cancel it. And he says that climate change is, you know, a conspiracy made up by the Chinese. So, you know, we're painting a very rosy picture here of how things are going forward. But how do you get through to people who don't believe you?
Well, I would remind people that the leaders of every political party in every advanced economy across the globe, except for our Republican Party, the only exception, agree with the scientists that it's in our best interest to move forward with clean energy that cuts carbon pollution. And what was also the background for Paris with many companies coming on board and saying, we are committing to up to 100% renewable energy, but we need a market price signal from this international gathering that the whole country is moving and the whole globe is moving in this direction. They got that price signal. So after the climate summit, Bloomberg New Energy Finance announced that now everyone knows that by the middle of this century, the world is on track to move to a zero-carbon future. So not overnight, but in a responsible kind of transition. And, in fact, Bloomberg also in that same article reported that the tax credit extensions for solar and wind that were passed that same week in December by the U.S. Congress, a bipartisan agreement, kind of a rare thing in our U.S. Congress, to extend solar and wind energy tax credits will mean that in the United States, by 2020, so just in a few years, we'll have $73 billion additional investment in wind and solar actually developed and deployed here in the United States. So people are looking at the clean energy solutions as a driver for a market and wanting to be part of that market going forward. So when people come to the Energy Fair June 17th, 18th, and 19th, they're going to gather up to 15,000 people from across the Midwest to talk about these solutions and how to make them real in everyone's life.
You know, even, Jay, as the Paris Agreement is signed, and you can see this on the Fresh Energy website, global temperatures are shattering records. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said, quote, we're in a race against time. You've got a post showing that 2015 was the hottest year ever recorded. And the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration data shows that this past year, 2015, surpassed the 20th century average by 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And then you just go to this year. The data for April of 2016, 3.47 Fahrenheit above the 20th century average. That's the highest April temperature and the third highest monthly temperature departure on record, behind March of 2016 and February of 2016. So, you know, these massive climate changes are happening. The Great Barrier Reef in Australia has been bleached in a lot of places and is dying. The Greenland glaciers are melting at an incredible level, according to something that just happened that was just reported in Scientific American. Are we too late to do anything about it?
Oh, absolutely not, Glenn. And the clean energy businesses and entrepreneurs who are at this year's fair will give you many, many examples of how things are moving forward. We clearly have a fire lit under us, because if you come from a state, northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, northern Michigan, those three states are the fastest warming states in the winter of the whole country. And what that translates into, people who spend their time outdoors or work in natural resource-based industries know that has big impacts, mostly negative, for agriculture, for our lake water quality, and especially for the health of our forests. And so people coming together to take action based on clean energy that has zero carbon emissions, zero mercury emissions, and can actually be cheaper than fossil fuels is a very empowering experience for people. And I think people will be surprised at how quickly the market is moving, and people are there to talk to each other about how to move forward even faster.
Doug Stingle?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think Jay is right on point here. And certainly the industry is growing at a rapid pace. Today, there are more people that work in the solar industry than work in coal, oil, and natural gas combined. So this industry continues to grow, and it continues to grow, you know, whether there are good political policies there or if there aren't. And that's because of the price declines and people looking to do it for the right reasons. And so I would like to just point out, I know you mentioned Donald Trump and the Republican Party and their opposition to recognizing climate change as a real thing. However, polling done by an organization called Clear Path, which is a Republican-led organization, shows in the state of Wisconsin that over 80% of people favor more solar energy, whether they be a Republican, Democrat, or independent. So whether the political parties that are there or not, the people are there. And so we would encourage anyone that has that idea that solar and wind and this clean energy economy are our future, which they are, to come and join us at the Energy Fair on June 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Rob Peck?
Yeah, learn, connect, act. I think that's what it really comes in that order. I don't run into many people that aren't at least have some interest in solar energy. So certainly the fire has been lit. I found it interesting that Jay had mentioned twice in her last comments, she mentioned agriculture. And really what I'm seeing is that, yeah, you got a lot of residential installations that are going on and more are happening. And we've got several commercial installations, large commercial installations that are going on. Again, primarily from the financial aspect, but certainly they're forward-thinking companies as well. But what I see is agriculture is really one of the leading sectors, or one of the sectors that are leading the way when it comes to renewable energy installation. And I think one of the biggest reasons is when you talk to a farmer, you're not talking to somebody who says, well, I'm going to be doing this for 5 years and I'm going to be moving on to something else. They're in it for the long haul. They're thinking ahead 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and renewable energy is a big part of looking ahead into our future.
We're going to take a short break. Today on Route 51, we're talking about this year's Energy Fair, which takes place the weekend of June 17th in Custer, Wisconsin, east of Stevens Point. And our guests today, Doug Stingle of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Rob Peck of Northwind Renewable Energy, and Sunday afternoon's keynote speaker, Jay Drake Hamilton of Fresh Energy. I'm Glenn Moberg. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Here's Tower of Power.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include the Edward J. Okray Foundation, the Spring Green Chamber, and Present Music. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Wausau River District, presenting First Thursdays, a social retail event held the first Thursday of each month, with shopping, activities, and music by local musicians throughout downtown Wausau. WausauRiverDistrict.com.
Then the coal company came with the world's largest shovel, and they tortured the timber and stripped all the land. Well, they dug for their coal till the land was forsaken. Then they rode it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train is hauled it away.
When the Peabody Coal Company filed for bankruptcy last month, John Prine tweeted, "I take no delight in anybody's misfortune. I just hope the workers and their families will be taken care of." Prine wrote the anthem Paradise, actually Paradise Lost, about Peabody and the world's largest shovel, known as Big Hog, which, according to one reporter, weighs as much as a Navy cruiser, stands 20 stories high, and can pick up 300 tons of dirt and rocks, deliver it 450 feet away, and be ready for the next cut in 50 seconds. Big Hog could have moved all the dirt in the Panama Canal in 3 years, and it turned whole stretches of the Appalachian countryside into what some call a desolate moonscape. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we are talking about a world that's moving away from coal and fossil fuels with Doug Stingel, Development Director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair, Energy Association, rather, Rob Peck, the Design Consultant with Northwind Renewable Energy, and J. Drake Hamilton of Fresh Energy of Minnesota. We are looking at the 27th Annual Energy Fair, which takes place the weekend of June 17th in Custer, Wisconsin. Your reflections, Jay, on the bankruptcy of the Peabody Coal Company and what that portends for the future of coal and other fossil fuels in this country.
Thank you, Glenn. And some people are aware that many, many coal companies are going bankrupt over the last few years. And it's part of the transition. We were very dependent here in the Midwest and across a lot of the country on coal for about 100 years. And now we're in a situation where the health detriments of burning coal and the benefits of clean energy, the low-cost clean energy solutions that almost everyone favors, 80 to 90% favorability, and the politicians should listen to those numbers and follow the people, are showing that we're moving in a different direction. So the market is already being mobilized. And I know that when I was at the climate summit, many billionaires were there. And why were billionaires at a climate summit? Because they recognize that the clean energy solutions are something that they can make money off of and that are market ready now. And I think a lesson for all of us is how do we make sure that Midwestern communities are open for business and open to these clean energy solutions that will benefit homeowners and renters and small business entrepreneurs all across our great heartland. Last summer, the president invited a number of people from outside the Beltway to the White House to celebrate the announcement of the Clean Power Plan, which is the biggest thing any nation has ever done to fight climate change. And, you know, I got to be one of those 12 people, and it was interesting. The president did not want to hear from the regular folks inside the Beltway, and he invited people from Iowa and Illinois and Minnesota and Ohio, because he wanted examples of how the heartland is demonstrating that you can cut carbon and grow clean energy jobs at the same time. And you don't have to choose anymore between the economy and the environment. You can have both.
J. Drake Hamilton, there is a push to continue mining coal. Hillary Clinton lost the West Virginia primary after she said that we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work. So there are people in these regions that are affected by our energy choices and energy decisions, even if they're not policy-driven based on dictates from the government.
Yes, I think it's very important that we take a look at those workers who are affected as we make this steady transition, and we make sure that it's a just transition. But we have to bear in mind that most of the changes in the coal industry have come about not because of government regulations, but actually because companies have made decisions to mechanize those operations. And that just makes sense. These are dangerous jobs to have machines do more of the work. But it's a transition, and we all need to take responsibility to make sure that we are giving workers opportunities to retrain and get the same level of jobs doing in the clean energy economy. And that's why it's so helpful that to know, and I keep reminding people who were starting with the pioneers back in the 1970s, some people haven't thought about energy too much since the 1970s. And I remind people the industry is changing so rapidly that you really have to clear your head and get the new information in about the new economics. And you have to make sure that in your communities, you're talking about how more people can get these very efficient and clean technologies to run their businesses and run their homes.
Yet a lot of the problems the coal industry is having is because a lot of industries and utilities are using natural gas, which is a cleaner fuel, but that brings up the entire subject of industrial fracking, which, again, is a campaign issue. Hillary Clinton says she favors it. Donald Trump favors it. Bernie Sanders does not.
Yeah, you know, I know in Wisconsin and Minnesota, Northern States Power is a part of Xcel Energy. And what Xcel Energy's CEO said in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, just about 10 days ago at the annual meeting of his shareholders, is that coal is on its way out because of economics. And so what the industry is seeing when they go out on open bids blind to technology is that wind energy especially, and in some cases even solar energy, can outcompete natural gas as the very cheapest thing to do. So just strictly in terms of a lowest cost business decision on behalf of their customers and keeping our rates low, companies are making a decision to move forward with clean energy developments. And that's a really good sign that it's a business case for moving forward.
Let's let our other guests weigh in the whole idea of the decline of coal, the use of natural gas, industrial fracking, and the clean energy alternatives that are on the horizon. Doug, we'll start with you.
Sure. So I reckon back to we've gone through several of these transitions in society in the U.S. over time. And the one that kind of really strikes me as a similar one is the coal industry kind of reminds me of the horse and buggy lobby of the early 1900s. When the automobile came about, the horse and buggy lobby was very much against the automobile, against Henry Ford, and against progress. And so I look at some of the coal companies, some of the very coal-dependent utilities in the Midwest as being part of that horse and buggy lobby and trying to impede progress in the effort to maintain their profits. And not having the best interest necessarily of the rest of the country and the rest of the world at heart. So I think we've got to we don't want to impede progress. We've gone through this. We continue to progress as a society, and that next progression is clean energy.
Rob Peck?
Totally agree. I think we've seen several changes throughout our economy as some technologies fade and others come about. Again, I think this also comes down to particular individuals wanting to control their energy sources, wanting to have control over being where their electricity is made, not having to rely on a large aging grid, and it's a security issue for many people as well.
Bill Richardson, former governor of New Mexico, says the United States is the world's greatest superpower, and we've got a third world energy grid.
That's the way I understand it as well.
Yeah, I often use this line, but if we were to reanimate Thomas Edison today, he would look at the electrical grid some 100-odd years later and go, oh, I totally get it. It's exactly the same as it was when I invented it. So I think we've got to move forward, and there are some folks that are leading that. If we look at New York, the state of New York has gone through a process that they've called the REV process, reimagining the energy vision, where they're looking to incorporate more distributed energy as well as resiliency. Certainly they're very interested in natural disasters. If we remember Hurricane Sandy that came through a few years ago, it knocked power out in parts of New York for months. And so they're looking to see how they can become a more clean and resilient electrical grid. And so they're leading that transition. And I think a lot more states are going to get on board.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. Paul from Lincoln City, you're on Route 51.
Well, not Lincoln City, but Lincoln County.
Lincoln County.
Yeah.
I didn't read the abbreviation. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, thank you for the program, Glenn. Thank you very much. I sit on the Lincoln County Board of Supervisors, from which position I have also a seat on the Library Board in the City of Merrill. And Rob Peck has been to our Library Board meetings because the library board is considering putting solar panels on the library roof. We haven't made that decision yet, but we are certainly looking in that direction. But at the county level, we are having a really hard time pushing the idea of solar panels forward on county-owned buildings because, number one, our budget has been so tightly squeezed by the state legislature, and number two, there is no funding that we've found either at the state level or at the federal level to enable us to do this. And we would dearly love, at least some of us would dearly love, to put solar panels on at least some of the county-owned buildings, if for no other reason than as a demonstration project to the community. But we're having a really hard time finding the funds to do that.
Rob Peck, do you have any ideas for Paul?
Well, Paul brings up a really great point, is that a lot of the incentives, the financial incentives that are available out there, are really tied to your tax liability, your tax appetite as a business, as a homeowner, and municipalities and county government, well, they don't pay taxes, so they lose out on that opportunity. It is a bit of a conundrum when it comes to municipalities, particularly in Wisconsin. If we're looking at anything in the way of any kind of third-party financing, that's a big can of worms here in the state of Wisconsin. Would you agree, Doug?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's oftentimes nonprofits, non-taxpaying entities can get over that hurdle by enlisting in a developer or a third-party owner of the system that can take advantage of the federal tax credits. That legality in the state of Wisconsin is in somewhat of a gray area. The Environmental Law and Policy Center has issued a white paper saying that, in fact, they do see it as being legal in the state of Wisconsin. So there are certainly some roadblocks, but there are also some innovative opportunities that folks are working on to be able to capture that tax advantage or that tax credit while still working with a nonprofit. And I would encourage Paul and anyone else who is interested in that to come to the fair. I know that there's an organization that is working through a solar bonding, selling solar bonds through a co-op that would be able to help nonprofits be able to capture some of that tax advantage. And then the nonprofit entity still has the advantage of the solar energy. So it is a roadblock, but it's not something that's going to stop it completely. And we're definitely working our way around it.
Paul, thanks so much for the phone call. On the subject of the grid, the energy grid, last year, Doug, you brought in John Wellinghoff, who you mentioned was a past chair of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and he spoke about national security issues and the electric grid. And he pointed to an article in Forbes, a well-placed nuclear device could wipe out electric transmission for the entire country with the way the grid is set up right now. America would literally go dark. There would be no phones, no money, no heat, no running water, no medicine, no police. And the idea is that we needed more nodes in the electric grid. And by putting solar panels on individual houses and having more local generation, that we could actually improve the national security of our grid and the entire country. J. Drake Hamilton, your thoughts on the grid and the need, according to John Wellinghoff anyway, for more local generation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's clear that we need a grid system that's more resilient to changes. And also we need the grid to work harder for smaller renewable energy installations, whether it's on the county or buildings or public libraries, or larger solar farms, how to integrate those and interconnect them with our grid. And so in Minnesota, we're starting a pilot project, the regulators are, to take a look at grid modernization. Think of it as using the kinds of technologies that we use routinely now through our cell phones to control certain energy uses. In our home, for example, we can do that. How can we use those same sorts of technologies that don't require a lot of capital expenditures, but to make the grid work harder and smarter so that when all of that free fuel from the sun or from the wind is putting electrons onto our system, it can interconnect really well and actually make our grid more reliable and more resilient. Some of the solar developers across the Midwest are finding that if you locate next to an electric substation that has some room left on it, that essentially you're providing solar power to the community rather than the big transmission lines. And it's much cheaper to do that. And how do we magnify this all across the system so that we're making sure the grid is working harder, getting smarter, but then we'll be more resilient to storms or other chaos that we might encounter?
She's absolutely right. The way that the system is set up right now, large swaths of our countryside can be knocked out with just some single catastrophes. And people are interested. People want to have that individual control of knowing where their electricity is coming from and that they can take care of their energy source on their own. And it just builds for a stronger grid.
Yeah. And not only is it a national security concern, it's also an incredibly inefficient way for us to deliver energy. Large centralized power plants today, we lose about 60% of our energy that we generate through transmission. So we have a large power plant that's 30, 40 miles away from wherever you are, that electricity has got to come all the way on wires to your home, and we lose a lot of that in transmission. So the more energy that we can generate locally, the less we lose through transmission and the more resilient our grid becomes.
We're going to take a short break. Today on Route 51, we're talking about this year's Energy Fair, which takes place not this coming weekend, but the weekend of June 17th in Little Custer, Wisconsin, east of Stevens Point. Doug Stingle of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Rob Peck of Northwind Renewable Energy, and Sunday afternoon's keynote speaker, J. Drake Hamilton of Fresh Energy, are our guests. I'm Glenn Moberg. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. Here's Van Morrison.
Rain hit the car off spring.
Oh, yeah.
Green can't be cool and friendly light. And green can't be bright like an ocean. Or part like a mountain.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include the Franklin Public Library, Carmela's Italian Bistro, and Dean Clinics. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR programs for years to come. More at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
Jesse Colin Young and the Youngbloods taking us into our final segment of our Route 51 show on the 27th Annual Energy Fair, which takes place the weekend of June 17th, as we continue our conversation with Doug Stingle of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Rob Peck of Northwind Renewable Energy, and keynote speaker J. Drake Hamilton of Fresh Energy. That's an energy advocacy organization that's based in Minnesota. I'm Glenn Moberg. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-780-9742, and we have James from Montello. James, you're on Route 51.
Hello. Hello, very, very pleased to meet you. I have a couple of questions. I'm wondering about wind power, and just as a homeowner, and I was wondering, well, first, what would be the cost of redemption if I decided, or is there, a small wind turbine that I could put up, well, like an old-fashioned windmill?
Well, we've got a lot of exhibitors at the Energy Fair coming up, Doug Stingle, and I went through the workshops, and there are several workshops on wind energy, in fact, some using those small turbines.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to watch the development of these different markets as I've been in the industry for about 8 years now. Back in 2007, 2008, everyone was looking at small wind and solar thermal, all very cost competitive, those three technologies. Over the time, we haven't seen that drop in cost when it comes to small wind turbine technology. And so we certainly, with large-scale wind turbines, that is one of the, if not the cheapest way to generate electricity today on a large scale. However, the smaller ones haven't come down in cost very much. And so we're seeing folks that had been interested in those kind of things really moving towards a solar electric system, because you can get more generation for the same amount of money, if not less money.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I
very quickly, Jim.
All right. As I've lived up here for 16 years, I have noticed. I mean, we have a lot more cloudy days than sunny days, but the one thing we have on my property is wind.
It's a lot of wind
all the time.
All right, we got it, Rob Peck.
Yes.
It's really interesting because so many people that I get to talk to, especially at the Energy Fair, want to talk about wind energy. And I reflect a lot of the things that Doug has already said about the economics of wind compared to solar right now. But everybody always says they have a really windy spot. And I don't doubt that there are some, you know, definite small areas in the state of Wisconsin, microclimates, if you will, that generate some amounts of wind. But for the most part in Wisconsin, not a real strong wind resource for small wind.
Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. J. Jerry Hamilton, speaking of wind energy on sort of a macro level, Iowa right now is a leader in wind energy. They're looking at generating 40% of their electricity from wind in just 4 years. But here in Wisconsin, development of new wind farms has been non-existent since Governor Walker was elected. To quote the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in an article just this month, to tally up the wind turbines built in Wisconsin over the past 5 years, you'll need all of two hands. And they're estimating that there have been more than 1,000 jobs lost because of that.
I think what I find fascinating is that states and companies like Warren Buffett's operation in Iowa has determined that it's the lowest cost thing they can do to build more wind. And so we need to take a really hard look at the economics all across the heartland of this country and see what the reality is. I know in Minnesota we're also looking carefully at what the costs are of burning coal, those externalities costs that economists say we need to internalize. In Minnesota, we are required to internalize those, and that helps the math too. But also, there's a growing movement of healthcare professionals, doctors and nurses throughout this country, including in the heartland, who are pointing out that relying so heavily on fossil fuels is really harming kids growing up today. There's a certain fraction, I know in Minnesota it's about 7 or 8% of kids who have asthma. And when we have bad air quality and caused by burning fossil fuels, it's those kids who suffer. And so they are, those health professionals and big health organizations are now actually pushing to move faster toward clean energy. So with both the economic reasons to benefit, it would be, I think, very useful for people in all the states across the Midwest to make sure their politicians are reflecting their personal values, which is how do we move to a healthier economy? How do we announce that we're open to business for these clean energy opportunities and make sure that in the future we're not buying clean energy from other states or from other nations? That how do we get local ownership of these clean technologies?
Doug Stengel.
Yeah, we in Wisconsin have definitely missed an opportunity when it comes to large-scale wind. And interestingly enough, there are a lot of businesses in the state that produce or manufacture parts of wind turbines. Maybe they build the tower. Maybe they work on the blades. There are lots of industries that do that. However, we're not actually installing any in the state. And so we've missed that opportunity. Most of that development has gone south of the border to Illinois. So we definitely have missed an opportunity. I would encourage, like Jay said, for folks to really let their politicians know that they want to have more renewable energy development, because that's really the only way that we're going to get more wind power in the state.
Yep. Rob, we're down to our last minute or so. Any final thoughts for us?
Go to the fair. I mean, for people who are listening here, obviously you've got some interest in renewable energy. You're curious. Maybe you're on the verge of making the commitment and the investment into your own renewable energy system. The fair is a great place to go to gain the information that you need and to take that last step of this year's motto is to act.
And J. Jerry Hamilton, we have a national debate going on right now on the future of energy. What's the role of the Midwest in this debate? What's the role of Minnesota, which has moved forward with a number of initiatives? What could the role of Wisconsin be?
We have to move forward as a country, of course, but many of our national leaders are looking to the heartland, looking to the Midwest that historically has been very dependent on fossil fuels like coal, but has already started making the transition. In Minnesota, we now have 54,000 clean energy jobs, and we're cutting carbon at very low cost. And if you come to the fair, you'll find facts, ideas, and inspiration, and we hope to see you there.
Thank you so much.
What good is the dawn that grows in today?
the sunset at night. Or living this way, for I have the warmth of the sun.
We want to thank today's guests, Doug Stingel, Development Director for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Rob Peck, Design Consultant for Northwind Renewable Energy, and keynote speaker J. Drake Hamilton of Fresh Energy. She'll be speaking at the Energy Fair Sunday, June 19th on the main stage. That fair begins on Friday, June 17th in Custer, Wisconsin on Highway 10 east of Stevens Point. You can find out more about the fair at energyfair.org. You can find out more about Northwind at northwindre.com. You can find out more about Fresh Energy at fresh-energy.org. And we've got a list of all of the workshops on our Route 51 Facebook page. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Special music by The Fifth Dimension, George Harrison. Tower of Power, John Prine, Van Morrison, Jesse Colin Young, and Willie Nelson and the Beach Boys. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.